So, well, words matter in our lives, don't they? Words have an impact on us. You know, the words that we speak have a power, on the one hand, to encourage us, to build us up, to help us live our lives rightly. On the other hand, the words in our lives also have the power in them to hurt and to destroy and to tear others down. Proverbs 12:18 reminds us of this, and it says that the words of reckless people pierce like swords. If you're not careful with your words, they can hurt. But on the other hand, the tongue of the wise brings healing. So today we're talking about words. This Easter season, our message series is Out of the Grave, and we're talking about all the different ways that Jesus brings us out of graves. We're talking about what the resurrection means for your life today, because Jesus is alive. He is risen. Jesus has left the grave, and Jesus takes us out of the graves with him. Jesus frees us from those places of sin and death. Jesus frees us from those tombs in our lives. And so today, what we're talking about is the tomb of lies. We're talking about this tomb of falsehood. And Jesus brings us out of this tomb by giving us life and truth instead. So our scripture reading for today is Psalm 5, we just heard. And Psalm 5 shows us how words can work in our lives. In this psalm, we see how words can work in our lives to create darkness and death through lies. And we also see how God's truth can enter our lives to give us life and truth in Christ. So let's start with the lies. The sad truth is that all of us have been hurt by lies at some point. You know, we hear lies all the time. We believe some of these lies, and we even sometimes hurt others with these lies as well. This is the situation that the psalmist is in. Beginning in verse 8, we read, the psalmist says, "Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Lead me because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies." This is where the psalmist is. He's in the middle of all these lies. And when the psalmist talks about his enemies there in verse 8, the word enemies is literally watchers. It literally means watchers, people who are watching him treacherously. He says, "Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my many watchers." And so the image that should come to your mind is kind of like in the cartoons, right? When your hero finds himself alone in the woods at night. And you can see shadows in the darkness. There's trees and bushes and things. And you don't actually see the monsters. You don't actually see the wolves in the woods. What do you see peering out from the darkness? Their eyes. That's kind of the image here, here in Psalm 5. Many watchers surround him, and he knows that they don't intend to do good. The watchers in the psalm, then, are the enemies of God's people. These are the enemies of God. And these enemies are speaking, too. They're speaking lies. We know they can't be trusted. They're telling lies about the psalmist, and they're even telling lies to the psalmist. They can't be trusted. And you know the devastating effects that a lie can have. Because really what lying is when someone speaks selfishly. Lying is when someone speaks selfishly. So when you lie, you build yourself up at the expense of others. And I think we've all had this experience where someone has lied to us or someone has lied about us for their own gain. You know, maybe they just told that lie to simply kind of puff themselves up, kind of like a bully does. They make themselves seem better by pushing you down, and so they're seeking an emotional gain. They're trying to feel good for a moment. Maybe these lies that someone has told, maybe they told those lies for financial gain or for some kind of advantage in business. You know, we know what that's about. Maybe they told those lies to try and hold power over someone else in a relationship. That happens too. You know, whatever the gain may be and whatever the lie may be, it's really all the same thing. Really, to lie is to put yourself first. To lie is to build yourself up at the expense of others. And of course, we all can recall ourselves. Times when we have given in to this temptation too, whether we felt like we needed to or because, you know, maybe we used to do that regularly and we're past that now, but we all have this experience too. There have been times when we've put ourselves first. There's been times when we ourselves have lied. So we all know the effects that a lie can have on our lives and on the lives of others. And really what lies do is they destroy the foundation of our lives. Because lies destroy our confidence in the truth. And if you can't base your life upon the truth, then what foundation is there left for you? I don't think there's anything left for you to base your life upon at all. So when you believe the lies that others tell about you, when you believe the lies that others tell to you, what happens is you start to lose your grip on the truth. Think for a moment, for example, of a young woman in high school. It could be a particular person, it could be anyone, but you know, she may be a very smart and talented and beautiful young woman, but if she would start to believe the lies that bullies tell to her, then what happens? She loses all of her confidence in herself that God has given her. She loses the confidence in the gifts that God has given her. Indeed, she's losing her grasp on reality because she's believing things that aren't true. Another example could be advertising, because, you know, there's a lot of advertisements that go way beyond simply presenting your product in an attractive light. There's advertisements that try to give you the sense that, hey, your life won't be complete unless you buy this toy, unless you take this vacation, unless you do this or that or the other thing. And of course, that's a lie. You don't really need that to complete your life, but if you start to believe it, well, then they've got you, and your life's foundation has shifted. Lies eat away at the foundation of our lives because lies prevent us from understanding ourselves rightly. Lies prevent us from understanding our relationship with God rightly. Lies prevent us from understanding the world and seeing things clearly. So the lies that others tell us, the lies that we tell ourselves, lies hurt us, right? Lies destroy the meaningful relationships that we were created to have with one another. Lies tear away the self-respect and the dignity that God made us to have. Lies obscure our very meaning. Lies obscure our very identities and the meaning that God gives to our lives. So it's true, the tomb of lies is a deep and painful one indeed. But Jesus' death and resurrection frees us from this tomb. Jesus' death and resurrection frees us from this tomb of lies. In our world that is so full of lies and falsehood, the one thing we can be sure of is Jesus. Because if there's one thing that God won't stand for, it's a lie. We see this. The psalmist claims this. He says that you, God, you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. And so he's saying that evil and wickedness and lies, they're as far away from the character of God as the east is from the west. They're totally separate. God has nothing to do with evil and falsehood and lies. And God doesn't let us lie to ourselves either. The psalmist says this, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. The psalmist is saying that God won't let us keep fooling ourselves because it's our own arrogance. It's our own arrogant nature that looks at our world and our own lives and we see the pain that's there. We see the brokenness that's there in our world and our lives, and it's really our arrogant nature that says, you know what, we're okay. We got this. We can handle this on our own. But the truth is we're not. So God doesn't let us lie to ourselves in that way. He doesn't let us be arrogant in that way. The arrogant cannot stand in his presence, and he will always let us know that we need him. And the psalmist even speaks of those who would lie maliciously. He speaks of those who would continue to hurt others over and over. He speaks of those who won't turn from their ways. And the psalmist says this. He says, Lord, you hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful, Lord, you detest. So we see that God hates all of the lies in our lives. And God conquers those lies through Christ. After all, Jesus himself, he claims to be the truth. Jesus doesn't simply say, I'm telling you the truth, I'm teaching you the truth about God and life and the world. Jesus says, I am the truth. And when he was leaving his disciples, Jesus then promised his disciples that he would send them the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is all about truth. And Jesus died and rose so that liars won't have the last word. Because liars are the enemies of God's truth. Liars are the enemies of Christ. Liars would tell us that God doesn't care about you. But Jesus' death and resurrection shows us that God does. Liars would tell you that your own sins are too great, that God will never forgive you, that you don't belong in God's people. Liars would tell you that there's just something wrong with you and you don't belong with the congregation, the people of God. But Jesus' death and resurrection for you proves to you that God forgives anything. God covers over your sins and creates a place for you among his people, in the community of believers. Liars would tell you that there's no such thing as truth even. That's a great one, because if they get you to believe that, they don't have to lie to you anymore. Their work is done. Liars would tell you that there's no such thing as truth, that you just have to figure life out on your own. But Jesus' death and resurrection proves to us that Jesus is indeed the truth. Jesus' death and resurrection proves to us that the things he taught, the things he promised us, are truth. Liars would tell you that your lives will always be messed up and there's no way out. Just life is always going to be terrible. But Jesus' death and resurrection, complete with a new resurrection body that no longer suffered as his old one did. Jesus promised that one day we will rise like him too. Jesus' death and resurrection shows that one day you will live as God created you to live. One day God will heal your hurts. One day he will set your relationships right. One day you will experience life without all the pain and the confusion and the sorrow that we have now. Jesus is the truth who frees us from this tomb of lies. And we know this now, and we want to remain in the truth, right? We want to leave that tomb of lies behind. And Psalm 5, again, shows us how. If you want to keep your heart and mind in the truth, Psalm 5 shows us two things that you can do. First, I would say, speak to the Lord first in any situation. Speak to the Lord first in any situation to keep your heart and mind in the truth. And the second thing you do is you speak for the Lord in every situation. We're going to see what that means. But first, notice that both of these things are more about what you say than about what you hear or about what you see. And that might be surprising to you because, after all, if you're trying to protect yourself from a lie, isn't the easiest way to do that just to avoid the lie in the first place? To not hear it in the first place? Well, that's true. That is the best way to protect yourself from a lie. And that's appropriate sometimes. You know, for example, if you're struggling with the cultural lie that your wealth determines your worth, then you probably shouldn't spend a lot of time watching shows that, you know, they're all about showing you through rich people's homes and mansions and things like that. MTV's Cribs, anyone know that one? That came out when I was in high school, and that's kind of scary when I think about that. And it's still on today. I had to go and look that up. But if you struggle with the lie that your wealth determines your worth, you probably shouldn't be watching that all the time. You should keep yourself away from that lie. Or another big example, you know, if you were trying to raise children or grandchildren to know the Lord, if you want your kids to know what God's will is for them in their lives, if you want your kids to live out God's good will for their lives, if you're trying to keep them safe from all the lies that are there in today's culture, well, it's okay to shelter your kids, right? It's okay to keep them away from these harmful things that would teach them values that are totally opposed to God's good will for our lives. It's okay to keep them away from some of the media and the things out there that you know is bad. You can do that. You can keep that lie away from them. The best way you can protect your kids from a lie is to keep the lie away from them. But we know the truth is, in the end, you can't avoid every lie, right? In the end, you are going to encounter lies in your life, big lies and little lies, lies about God, lies about you, and everything in between. You're going to encounter lies in your life, so we should know how to deal with those lies when they come. So the first thing you do to keep your heart and mind in the truth is you speak to the Lord. In other words, you pray. All of Psalm 5, after all of Psalm 5 is a prayer to the Lord. And just look at how it starts. The psalmist says, "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray." And so there's quite obviously something big happening in the life of the psalmist. He's being accused. He's being persecuted. He's being lied to. He's surrounded by liars and lies who are trying to lead him away from God's truth. So what does the psalmist do? Well, verse 3, he says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. I lay my request before you and I wait expectantly." The first thing he does is he prays to the Lord and he unloads this on the Lord. But the way that he prays is important too, because a psalmist doesn't just pray, "Hey God, please do this for me, amen." That's sometimes what we do. The psalmist doesn't just pray, "Hey God, please wipe those enemies out, fix this for me, amen." The psalmist actually begins his prayer by talking about God's character. The psalmist says, "God, I know the truth about you. I know that you hate evil and falsehood." The psalmist says, "Lord, I know that it's because of your great love for me that I can come before you in this way to worship and pray." That's verses 4 through 7. That's the first half of this psalm. The psalmist is telling God what God is like. And it's only once the psalmist has already told God what kind of a God he is, it's only after the psalmist has reminded himself of the truth through prayer, only then does he make a request. And his request is, "Lord, lead me in your righteousness." He says, "Lord, keep me in your truth." So the first thing we do to fight a lie is we speak to the Lord. We remind ourselves of the truth. We remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done for us. We remind ourselves of who God is through prayer. And the second thing that we do to keep our hearts and minds in the truth, the second thing that we do is we speak for the Lord in every conversation, at every opportunity. Because remember, again, what lying is. Lying is first and foremost, it's speaking for yourself. It's speaking selfishly. Lying is all about making yourself great. And so we see the evildoers here are speaking for themselves in so many ways. When we look through this psalm and we see the different ways that the evildoers are speaking, we see that they speak in arrogance. They speak in malice. They speak in rebellion. They speak through intrigues or, in other words, evil plots. And these are all forms of self-centered speech, self-centered actions. And what they do is they lead to all of these lies that the psalmist is dealing with. And in contrast, when we look at the psalmist speaking in this Psalm 5, he is speaking for the Lord. When we read about the psalmist's words, they're words like, I cry to you, Lord. The psalmist bows down in reverent worship. The psalmist sings for joy to God. And that's a good example for us to follow too. Whenever we go to speak, and by the way, this implies that we're thinking before we speak. That's always a good idea. Whenever we go to speak, we should ask ourselves, am I trying to build myself up here? Or am I trying to show others the truth of Christ that is in me? Am I giving glory to God? Am I giving a good witness to the hope I have? So in all things, let's speak for the Lord. And imagine for a moment if everyone did this. Imagine a community without lies. Imagine a community where everybody knew that in Christ they are precious. Imagine a community where everyone knew that in Christ they are held close by the Father. In Christ they are loved, honored, and redeemed. That sounds like the kind of world that I want to live in. And someday we know Jesus is coming back to make that world a reality. Someday Jesus will destroy this tomb of lies for good. And until then, we're his people. We do his work now. We're the hands and feet of Christ, and I might add, we're his mouth as well. And so we keep ourselves in the truth, and at the same time, we share the truth of Christ in everything we do and in everything we say. Amen.